can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Don, just before we get on to any shout-outs or any things that we have to mention, last week, if you'll remember, I keep saying to you, have you got any topics? And you say, no, I haven't. And then when we finish, every time you say, oh, I meant to mention this. Oh, I meant to mention that. So when we get off...
Can we put that down to old age?
Well, I don't care what you put it down to.
Well, there's got to be an explanation.
I would put it down to stupidity.
Well, I'd put it down to old age.
Anyhow, so when we got off last week, you said something that I thought was extraordinary, and I said, why didn't you mention that? What's wrong with you?
What did I say?
I'm about to tell you. Why didn't you mention that last on the podcast? And you said, oh, well, I forgot. I said, well, write it down. I said, but I forget to write it down. I said, well, get a notepad that says I've got to write something down and remind you to write something down. I don't know how else. Just take a notepad with you. So just before we give a shout out, we've got a couple. You told me last week that the St Kilda footballers, or am I going on with this?
Yeah, keep going.
Does that hasn't jogged your memory? Have been asked to take a small pay cut in order to finance the women's team.
That's what I was told.
So would you? Why am I doing this? Would you like to expand on that, or is that a rumour?
No, that's your topic now. You're a plagiarist. You've pinched my idea.
No, I'm asking you to explain something which I thought was vaguely interesting.
Well, they had a meeting. I was told that they had a meeting.
Who did?
The St Kilda boys, and the clubs have got to come up with the money. Where are they going to pay these women that are now in the club? And it's only, you know, the buck can only go so far, but it was run past them. Would they be prepared to take a lower pay cut?
Who called the meeting?
I don't know anything about that. All I was told is that they had
a meeting.
The player in question told my informant, and I'm not going to go and put him through the third degree. I'm just telling you as a topic.
Want his name. I just want you were told by a player, were you?
No, I was told by
an ex-player.
A source.
An ex-player.
No.
Someone on the committee.
You're not going to get it out of me.
I don't want his... someone on the committee or someone close to the club or a friend of a player?
Well, you know how it works, a friend of a player.
Okay, so he said that the player had told him they'd been asked at a meeting to take a bit of a pay cut so they could fund the women's salaries.
Yeah. Would they be open to it, open to that idea?
And did they? Did he give the response the two popular words that are generically used in Australian parlance?
Are they the two that referred... I was just going to say, I was going to be a little more polite than you.
Well, what were you going to say?
Well, do they refer to sex?
Hmm?
Do they refer to sex, those two words?
A bit bunned on?
You heard me the first time, don't boom, boom, boom.
I heard you. Do they what refer to sex?
The two words.
Get effed?
Yes.
Well, what's that mean?
Well, fuck is another word for sexual intercourse, isn't it?
Thank you, Don, yes.
Yeah, well, that's what I said to you. That
does it refer to sex?
The two words you were going to use. I was just going to say...
You know we've started. When this is not a dry run, we're on.
A what type of run?
A dry run. This is not. We're not practicing. What are you talking about? Get effed means, is that to do with sex?
I was being polite. I said, are you referring to... I knew what you were going to. I was just trying to help you out and be a little bit polite.
So you have heard... indirectly that the players at St Kilda have been asked would they be amenable to taking a pay cut or so that they could fund the salaries that the women now are requiring to play football in the AFWL. That's yes, is it?
Well, yes.
Okay.
It was just right. That was what was told to me in the players.
I would have thought that would have been a very interesting thing last week to bring up if you'd written it down. Have you got anything else written down just while we're going? Here, I see you looking at your notes. Go ahead.
Well, shout-outs. We give a shout-out?
Go ahead, Don.
I have to write this one down. I was in Banjos in Main Street, Mornington. You'd know Banjos, wouldn't you, Main Street, Mornington?
I don't.
That's where you buy very nice pastries. It's a bakery. And who would you believe came up and saw me?
Henry Kissinger?
No, Rod Smith.
Rod Smith.
Rod Smith. He said, "You are the two funniest blokes I've ever heard on a podcast." Shit, I thought, Rod, get a life, will you? But he does listen to us when he's driving to Avoca.
Okay,
why? So fills in. How far is Avoca from Melbourne?
A long way. Why does
He must replay this.
That's what people do on podcasts.
Really?
They listen rather than.
Do you think he's got a life?
Clambering through all the commercial radio and ads that bedevil you. Tell me, Don, what is in Avoca that he goes to, Rod?
Now, that is a very good point. I think he mentioned something about his mother-in-law.
So he drives up every week to see his mother-in-law.
I don't know if the mother-in-law is still with us. All I do know, his name is Rod Smith. He went and got a receipt. I said, "You've got to write this down, Rod, because I will forget."
If Rod's mother-in-law was deceased, he'd hardly drive up to see her.
Well, you don't know. Rod hasn't got much of a life if he listens to this and he thinks we're funny.
That's irrelevant, Don. He wouldn't be driving up if his mother-in-law. Anyhow, so he goes up. So Rod Law. Freudian slip there. Not
the
rocket.
You've got him on your brain.
The rocket. Yeah, I have got the rocket. Now, so Rod Smith.
What, anything
Smith,
happening there?
Rod Smith.
What do you mean? What's the finger going up?
No, nothing's happening.
Geez, you don't mind putting me in the shit?
No, I'm not putting anyone in the shit. Rod Smith. Give us his credentials, playing credentials. Don. Give us his playing credentials, Rod Smith. What is funny about that, Don?
Well, how would I know what his playing credentials
are? Well, who'd he play for?
How would I know? I was eating my pie.
So Rod
came across while I was eating my pie.
So you don't even know if he played football? Did he play football?
I don't know. I was engaged in eating my pie and trying to talk to Rod.
So this bloke came up. I thought you meant he was a footballer.
No, why would I say that? I said, this is a shout-out, Rod Smith.
I see. Well, did he say who he was?
Rod Smith.
Yeah, and did he say how he knew you? Or I'm just looking.
He listens to the podcast. That's how he knows us. He said it's the funniest podcast he listens to. And I thought, gee, Rod, get a life.
Okay, all right, so you didn't, so Rod Smith, I just assumed he was a footballer. All right, so well done to Rod.
Why would you assume Mrs. Smith?
Well done to Rod.
A footballer.
Any out there, go on. So while you're on a roll, Don, so you've got your scribbled little notes
this
down
is
there.
Now
I
listen,
see our friend was lying in the rain on Beaconsfield Parade.
And smoking a cigarette this morning. She's a fixture because the cyclist went past as I was driving past and they had a conversation.
Yep.
So if you're homeless, where do the cigarettes come from?
Don.
No. Listen, because these are dear. These cigarettes are dear now. We don't smoke, but I think they cost a lot of money. Now, if you're doing it hard, how can you have a and fancy lying in the, smoking a cigarette in bed?
Because we have the virtuous people who drop by thinking they're doing a community service by continuing to support this woman lying on a mattress.
How do they support her?
Fantastic boulevard by giving her food and cigarettes and shelter and clothing. She's got a little home set up there. Now, I'm going to say again, Don, I know you'll think this is not true, but this is not against the woman. I'm not having a go at the woman. How the council will let that go on is beyond me. I don't even live in that area, but to drive past there and see a small home being set up on our main boulevard, how that is allowed to happen is beyond me. I feel for the woman. I'm not sure that I feel for the woman. I think she's exploiting the generosity and the virtuous nature of people who think, oh, look at us, aren't we being
benevolent? Didn't your agent
benevolent?
Go down and find out that she's trying to raise
yes,
funds
my
to
agent,
buy
a... Yes, my agent went down and spoke to her, and I played you the tape of her, said that she's saving up to buy an apartment.
Well, that's terrific. That's admirable. Fantastic. It's admirable.
All right, so what happens if 50 or 60 people wanted to save up to buy an apartment and all camped on the boulevard? That's my point. Not against her, it's the council. How they put up with that is beyond me. So any more shout-outs, Don, please?
No, but talking about that woman laying or sleeping rough, do you know one of our guests kind of sleeps, or one of our former guests sleeps half rough? David Brooks, you remember Brooksy from the Music Men?
Yeah.
I got a little pic the other day. He sleeps out in his veranda. You know, he's got a veranda on his back.
Yes, Don.
What do you mean, yes, Don? You're not even interested.
He told us that he sleeps...
Does he?
Yes.
Did he say that?
He said, I sleep out in a veranda. And we said, why? He said, I just like being in the outdoors. It's not as though he's on hard times. He just enjoys sleeping out almost in the open.
You know, he goes swimming with those swimmers at Brighton. You know, what do they call them? The icebergers or
something?
Yes,
that's what they call it, not the icebergers.
Jeez.
Yeah, so he told us that last week.
Oh, did he?
So that's when you said to me, why are you saying that? Because he told us. And you were making out that he's fallen on hard times. He hasn't fallen.
No, I didn't say that at all.
You said, who sleeps rough?
Half rough.
That sort of indicates that you were saying rough. That he's fallen on hard times. He hasn't fallen.
No, that's you, your mind, the way
most people would think that who sleeps half rough, right. Don. So any more? Go on while you're on.
I've got a million things
here. Hurry up, go ahead.
A million. Solar, COVID, Scott Morrison, television, Queen. Did you watch Queen?
Yeah, I did watch the Queen a little.
Did you watch the Jubilee concert?
I did. What about Ginger?
Yeah, hang on. Let me finish.
What about Ginger and Winger?
Who?
Ginger and Winger.
Who are they?
Harry, who's got red hair, and the Winger.
Who's the Winger?
Megan.
Oh, you're being a bit rough.
Yeah, no, Harry, the Winger and the Ginger.
You wouldn't have, mate. You've plagiarised that. You've pinched that. It's a bit too good for you.
Winger and Ginger.
Yes.
Rod Rosenfield
told
me that.
Who?
Rod Rosenfield.
I thought you were going to say Rod Law told you.
He said, did you watch the... He's a good man, Rod. He said, did you watch the... all of what you said? And he said, yeah. What do you think of Winger and Ginger? I said, who's that? I said, that's very good, Rod. I like that, Winger and Ginger. Yeah. They were kept well away from the proceedings, and rightly so.
Anyway, the interesting thing about, I watched the opening, Bernie Quinlan, who I work with, and we've had him on here.
Is he a royalist?
Don't know what Bernie is.
Why would he
watch
it then?
We're still trying to work that one out, but he rang and said, you got to watch the Jubilee.
Well, he's a royalist.
And anyway, I tuned in at whatever time, 7 o'clock, and I was in London when the Queen's 50th Jubilee concert had just happened, and I should have
run. That'd be 20 years ago, would it?
Exactly. I was backpacking through Europe with my son.
Holy crap.
What do you mean?
Holy shit. You were backpacking?
Backpacking.
With your son?
Yes. Bonding
Why
experience.
Would you do that to him?
It was bonding. It's called bonding. Have you ever backpacked with any of your sons through Europe?
No.
Caught the train between cities.
Yeah.
Yeah, and stayed in hostels.
Incidentally.
Yes. Anyway, let me go on about the concert. I was on a... Brian May opened the concert, or Queen did on...
It was 20 years ago.
And they did it 20 years ago. Brian May, I've got the cassette, CD at home, which you could only purchase from Buckingham Palace. It's not for general sale. And he stood on top of Buckingham Palace with his guitar... And he soloed God Save the Queen on his guitar. Terrific rendition of God Save the Queen. Him standing on top of Buckingham Palace.
Dang,
and lo and behold,
dang,
Queen.
Dang,
yeah, but hang on, you got to get... I like the dang bit because that's what he was doing. He was playing with the chords. They opened again. But wasn't it, geez, they've been in a good paddock, some of those Queen blokes.
What's that, Don?
The Queen. Some of those, well,
the
there's...
The Queen blokes.
Roger, well, I'll tell you.
What do you mean?
Roger Taylor, the drummer.
The Queen blokes.
Yeah, well, that's what anyway, Roger Taylor, good paddock. Mm. Oh, boy. He looks like a little dwarf on the drums, doesn't he? He's a little rotund. And Adam Lambert, the lead singer, he must be doing very well.
What about, I can't think of his name.
Brian May?
No.
Well, they're the only
three. What's Elton John's name?
Reginald Dwight.
Yeah, what about Reggie?
Reg. I didn't see. I turned it off because they followed the same format as I did in the 50th anniversary. They started off with a big act like Queen and they did their thing. And then they got into these bloody dances and shit, I call them. And they did the same thing at the 50th.
Now, can I tell you something, Don, that it was a hell of a coincidence.
But in the 50th, you know who they had? Ozzy Osbourne. Oh, sang Paranoia, Black Sabbath.
Can I
you wouldn't even know who.
No, I was in the middle of telling you a huge coincidence. So do you remember, did you see at, was it Lord's, that the England and New Zealand test team stood and applauded on the 23rd over of the game for 23 seconds, applauded the late Shane Warne? Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
It was fantastic, Don. Everyone in the ground and the players lined up and applauded for 23 seconds on the 23rd over because Shane Warne was number 23. And someone told me the other day that he got that because he was a Dermot Brereton fan when he was growing up. And the person who told me this, who was at the ground, said you couldn't believe it. Just as the 23 seconds ended, the flyover of the Queen's Jubilee planes with the red, white and blue vapour coming out the back of them flew over the ground. They said it was an unbelievable coincidence that sort of looked like they were saluting Shane, but it wasn't. And they said it was extraordinary, Don. And you should look at them applauding. What a fantastic gesture by those two sides and the crowds at, I think it was Lords, I don't know, Old Trafford. I'm not sure where they play the Test
England,
cricket.
I think New Zealand are doing fairly well against England, but we don't get the score.
So Don, I just don't want to take you off track. Have you got anything else there just before
I've got a million things,
well,
Johnny.
Will I give a shout-out now or we reciprocate?
Well, can I ask you a question? We drive past the, well, I certainly do, the Port Melbourne. The Port Melbourne football ground. Each time I come here. Now, I have noticed 2 weeks ago, I should have mentioned it 2 weeks ago, as these lights were being erected, but they've got a very impressive array of lights, a little bit too impressive for a suburban ground.
No, it's a serious...
Now, do you think there is something going on? Can I be a little bit suspicious and say...
Conspiracy.
Yes. Could I say that... Do you think they may be going to play the AFW games later in the year as a night game at Port Melbourne?
I hope they're going to play a hell of a lot of things there because they are serious world-class lights that have been erected on huge stanchions or poles or, you know,
And who's paying the electricity bill? Because some of them were on this morning.
You'll be paying that, Don. If you park your car and get a parking fine, you'll be paying for it indirectly. But they are serious lights, really serious lights, and they've just snuck them up. I watched them because I drive past there every day. So something's going on there. They might play VFL games there, or the women might play there.
Well, VF, do you think...
I don't know, Don, but I hope they're going to use them because... So I was in...
And I felt... listen, while I'm on a roll, I happened to watch a game on Sunday, which is the old VFA team... Well, two VFA teams, the original Victorian Football Association teams, and I really went through my head about how that's... competition has been decimated by the AFL, decimated. It was a really sensational, because the VFL, which is the forerunner to the AFL, also is a derivative of the VFA. And it was only the fact that I think it was the Argus, backed the VFL when there was a breakaway. The Argus newspaper, way back in those times.
I know
times.
The Argus, Don.
Okay, the breakaway group, which is called VFL, but the big competition was the VFA, Victorian Football Association, and two teams played on Sunday, and that was rival teams, and I just went back through the old days when I was a boy growing up. Port Melbourne and Williamstown played one another, but it had a fantastic tradition, the games, and I just remembered a few of them, Oakley, Sandringham, they used to be a traditional clash. Brunswick and Coburg out in the north,
Port.
Preston, Coburg, Port Melbourne, they were
Phil Cleary used to participate in a lot of those very, very controversial games because he was a tough man and it was a tough game in those days. Incidentally, you speak of the Argus, maybe Ron Reed. Did you know Ron Reed,
the
hound, passed away?
Yeah.
And his funeral is on Friday. Maybe the hound used to write for the Argus, or maybe he was too young at the time.
The boy from Warrnambool.
Yes.
Ron took my stats. We went to Ireland. I was coaching the schoolboys team in Ireland.
Shit. Yeah, were you?
And Ron stood beside me on the coach's bench and took stats.
Well, there you are.
And we were nearly involved in a blue at a place called Donnybrook. Could you believe in a schoolboys football game at a place called Donnybrook? The crowd came onto the ground.
There was a Donnybrook at Donnybrook.
Yeah, exactly. And I was a restraining influence, otherwise the then president, Alan Aylett and Tony Capes, they were also on the coach's bench, Ron Reed. They all would have been in a fight in the middle of the ground with the rest of the spectators.
So that's extremely interesting, Don.
And I was a restraining influence.
Of course you were, Don. Now, I've got a shout-out to a person called Kathy Shearer. Have you ever heard of Kathy Shearer?
Yes.
She was Bob Shearer's wife. And do you know who Bob Shearer was?
Mm-hmm.
He was a golfer, a professional golfer, a very good man.
I think Kathy was in PR, wasn't she? Was she in PR at one stage?
She was.
On?
She used to do a lot of the golf tournaments. So I was speaking to Kathy, and she said someone told her to listen to the podcast. And I said, "Who told you?" She said, "Sandy Roberts' wife,
Carolyn."
I presume that's a name, is it?
I think they may have worked together.
I think they may have. So we said, if Kathy happens to find out where, she said, "What's it called?" I said, "You cannot be serious." And if she has any idea how to download it or anything, so we're sending a shout out to Kathy because
Bobby. But she mightn't get this. So she. If she doesn't know how to download it.
I said, if she knows how to download it, I told her how to download it. And so Bobby Shearer won 30-odd tournaments around the world and in Australia. And, well, you spoke about Sandy. And I said, we've asked Sandy, or Don's asked Sandy, to come on a couple of times. And Sandy seems a bit reluctant to come on. And Kathy said, yes, I think he is reluctant. He's not sure what we're going to ask him. I don't know why.
He put us on. I don't know if he interviewed you, but he certainly put me on the spot when I work with him on a number of occasions.
Yes. Well, we wouldn't put him on the spot. There's nothing to put him on the spot about. What would you put him on the spot about when he called Lorraine Lorraine
Cox? I was just going to ask him about his brain fade, which has gone worldwide.
Yeah, well, that's
that faux pas has gone worldwide, so I don't know why bring it up again.
Well, so what else would you ask Sandy Roberts that he'd be averse to being asked? Don, do you know anything about his private life that you'd sort of nail him with? Not a cross dresser, or not into drag, is he, or anything that? Nothing wrong with that, of course, Don.
Oh, isn't there?
Nothing. Of course, there's nothing. Not in this day and age. You know, if you want to wear drag. You
do you wear drag?
Well, you almost wear drag. On a daily basis, you could be, what, looking at you now, Don, that could be drag.
Why?
Because you've got an overcoat done up just under your nipples of your chest. How high is the belt on that Harry high pants?
It's just under my pectoral muscles.
That's right. Well, is that how you wear, is that where you wear a belt, is it? You usually wear it on your
hips.
Well,
I'm trying to do drag.
Don, and I only mention this woman because she was...
Who are we talking about now?
This is another shout-out to a woman who doesn't even listen to the podcast. But she was a very charming woman. She served me at a...
So why are you giving her a shout-out?
Just in case she hears that I mentioned a name.
You are a desperate.
Louise, her name was. Louise, you know, they're familiar with the term Louise.
My daughter's name.
She works at the Bond store.
The what store?
Bond.
Bond what?
Bond underwear store in Richmond. And I went in there for a reason.
What?
And I
Why did you go there?
She said, "Hello, Mr. Newman." I said, "That's my dad. I'm Sam. She said, oh, and anyhow.
Why do you go under the name Sam? You were christened John.
Oh, Don.
Please, why do you?
Oh, I've told you. You've got a
problem. You've got a problem.
No, I haven't. So, Don.
Well, Sandy goes under the name of Sandy. His name is Alexander. Did you realise that?
No, I did not.
Alexander Roberts.
No, I did not know that, Don. So there's 8,000 topics, and the reason I know you've been a little late, we've got a very, very prestigious guest coming in to speak to. We will be both out of our depth, Don, because we think that we contribute to society in some sort of way, like sort of, if you can see the air inverted commas I'm giving, we entertain people in some sort of way we used to in our previous life. And then we speak to real people who make the world go around, and this is a professor coming in to speak to us.
A professor?
A professor.
What, like a Brett Sutton?
He's qualified. This bloke's qualified.
Well, that's what I'd like to ask.
This is a professor coming in who, let's not preempt it. Let's wait till he gets here, and then we'll do it. Did you notice I saw on some news replays North Melbourne and the Gold Coast playing? Did you see the jumpers they were wearing? This was last week. And I said, what are those patterns? They said they're still wearing the Indigenous jumpers. And then talk about...
Oh, don't get me going on this,
please.
No,
but talk about...
Please.
The AFL beating us over the head with meaningless nonsense. Buddy Franklin was reported, and they said he was responsible for a cowardly act. They actually didn't say he was a coward. They just said it was a cowardly act. And that AFL leapt up and down and said they shouldn't have called Buddy Franklin cowardly, and no one in the football arena who plays football is a coward. Well, how many cowardly acts did you... Did we encounter on games of football? Have a cowardly act doesn't mean to say you're being a coward, but they jumped up and down because they didn't want to impugn Buddy Franklin. I mean, seriously, could they stop with the virtuous nonsense they carry on with these? The social elite just, God Almighty,
So the thing that you're getting off the subject a little bit, you touched on the jumpers.
What?
And I go back to the inception. In years gone by, there was no confusion with regard to jumpers. North Melbourne and Collingwood, pale blue and white stripes against black and white stripes. There was never a mistake made on the football. Well, I say never a mistake. But they played for a long time against one another, and that the uniforms weren't changed. And yet they have changed for an away strip. Why they? I'm a traditionalist.
Your colours,
your colours are your colours, and the design of your jumper is unique.
Spot on, Don.
And so, why have they got an alternative jumper? They say because of it's a clash jumper.
Ah,
because
they got
bullshit. It is bullshit. And now it's just a form of marketing where they're eroding tradition for the sake of a dollar, because they can go out and sell this jumper with the latest show. Well, Hawthorne, they have a Peter Hudson. They played in a Peter Hudson Legends jumper this year, and now they've got the Indigenous jumper, so the collectors go and buy these particular... Yeah. It is money-making, and they are prostituting the game.
Right. Now, absolutely.
Geez, your tongue tied, or what's wrong?
Because our guest
has
arrived.
Well, get up and... Invite him.
If I get up, Don, I'll leave you to do this on your own.
What you do,
and
is
after
you...
about 10 seconds, you've got nothing to say.
That's right. I need you.
Yeah, that's right. Well, how can I get up? And he's parked in the wrong spot. he's parked in somebody else's car park. Anyhow,
go out and do what you normally do, and give him a rev when somebody parks in that spot.
No, not the professor.
I
won't be giving the professor.
No wonder you've been hit around the head a few times.
So we've got a little more time here.
Why wasn't the soccer on TV last night?
I don't know, Don.
Well, Here, Australia's playing a World Cup qualifier. It's one of the only sports that we figure internationally. Mm-hmm. It's soccer, which is an international game. Yes. And it was an important game, and I flicked around on my free-to-air. Maybe it was on pay TV.
Fox, you think?
Well, I don't know, but wouldn't it be on free-to-air? That gets to more people.
What's
I was
SBS?
Very interested, and I had to wait till this morning to find out about the result.
SBS, would it be on?
I tried. No, but there was a good show on SBS, let me tell you, on the flick through. And I found out today that they won 2-1, got up in the last minute, and they're off to play Peru now. If they beat Peru, they get in to the World Cup, qualifying rounds of the World Cup. But on the flick through last night, there was a very interesting documentary called Conned. Conned. C-O-N-N-E-D.
Yeah, you were conned.
These people were conned, and there was a film These that ladies. I saw. Let me finish, you rude prick. There was a lady there from Sweden, and her story was figured on Netflix called The Tindler. Tinder? Tinder. Tinder Swindler.
Yeah, The Tinder Swindler.
Did
yeah.
you see that
yeah,
on
I've
Netflix?
I know what it's about.
Okay, well,
about
she was.
About this. This man about town who swindled a lot of women out of
yes,
money.
Yes, that's right. Anyway, she was a guest or guest of honour in the audience last night, and this guy is still doing what he is. He's a perpetual swindler. He cannot help himself, and he is still going to this day swindling people. And he's out in the
now. What would you tumble into him?
Yeah, but what would you charge? What could the police charge that person on?
Taking money under false pretenses, but if the women are part of it,
is that a thing? Taking money under false is that a charge? A criminal
taking money under false pretenses? No, maybe not, Don. I don't know. If the women are compliant, that's
what I'm saying.
Well, then it's probably not. He's probably just a.
So how can they just what expose Don, him?
Just a swine. He probably is.
But anyway, that was on, it's called Conned, and the last couple of minutes grabbed me, so I hope I can
get the Tinder Swindler.
Tinder Swindler.
So, Don, do you know this round is the MND round for Neil Danaher, isn't it? When they slide down the ice bath, because I think Rebecca Madden is going to slide down the ice bath.
I watched the 7 News and they're introducing or teasing us each or every couple of nights about a new guest sliding down the bath. Sliding down that slide. Have you done that?
Yes.
Is it as cold as what they make out?
What, to slide into a bath full of ice?
Yes.
What do you reckon?
I'm asking my friend because I don't know whether the people are just going along.
So, Don, you're in the middle of winter and they've got a tub full of ice and you slide down a slide into it with nothing on except bathers, and you reckon, would that be cold?
Well, you're walking around with a pair of shorts on in the middle of winter.
That's right, and I'm in here with a heater on in the room, and I'm not sliding into an ice bath. I'll leave it to you to work out if you think that'd be cold or not. So Rebecca Madden is going to slide down it, I see. And the reason I bring this up is because Neil Danaher is, at this stage, a living and walking marvel. He has beaten that disease and has raised millions of dollars, which this was... Remember Max, my son, who came in here, and he's now away. He's over in South Korea. He's gone over.
Why aren't you travelling with him?
Because it's a bonding. Here doing this with you, Don.
And it's a bonding. I told you how I went around Europe with my son, Don. Bonding.
Yeah, well, we're just dipped what? A toe in the water. He's coming in here doing the sport, but now he's left us.
Yeah, but I thought, why?
He said, Don, he said, this is his contribution. He said, when they're giving out Australians of the Year, why wouldn't they give one to Neil Danaher? Because he has done absolutely monumental things for MND, motor neuron disease. And the other one, and I've mentioned this before, why wouldn't someone like Shane Crawford have got an Australian of the Year for what he did for women's breast cancer by running from Adelaide to Melbourne at one stage and then riding from Melbourne to Perth to raise money for women's breast cancer? If you have a look at some of the people in recent times who have become Australian of the Year, just politically correct people what those two people would be at the top of the list to be Australians of the Year, those two people. So that was Max's contribution. So I just said I'll tell that. Have you been driving along anywhere and it says, beware, there's pop-up bike lanes? Pop-up bike lanes. There's a sign up on Beaconsfield Parade. Beware, be observant, pop-up bike lanes are in use. What is a pop-up bike lane?
Well, I suppose it pops what? Up at it pops you know, up. Peak periods when people are riding to and from work. Would that be right?
They just pop up.
Well, they just. Well, I suppose.
Where do they put them? Just on the road where you're driving.
What, the bikes?
Yeah, well, where does the pop up light bike lane go? What is a
well?
Pop-up
it's on the
bike
side
lane?
Of the road, and they put a sign to.
But there is bike lanes on the side of the road. There's bike lanes all along the road, and then it says beware. There's pop up bike lanes in use. What's that mean? Mm. Could they confuse, along with the roadworks and the witch's hats, is there any other way they could nobble people who buy cars? Let me get onto electric cars. The nonsense that people carry on about electric cars, they're trying to, that is almost a bogus, the electric car industry, because they think they're doing a good thing by the environment, but actually they're not. It's a hoax.
Hang on, I thought we were talking about bike lanes.
Yeah, well, we are. So we're talking about bike lanes.
But I just think that this, the council, the Melbourne City Council has debated this, I think it was last night or the night before, about the bike lanes that have just popped up over COVID.
Oh, so you know pop-up bike lanes, do you? I just said...
Well, no, they've popped up. In other words, they've designated, but they've put the thing on hold. They've obviously received a lot of flack because of the fact they've reduced... The drive, the
yes,
vehicle thing,
and
the,
buy
these
cars bikes. And want
but
to
is
drive.
It really is? If you go a little bit deeper, and the scary thing is, it's reflecting the constituents that live in the Melbourne City area, and it is these what do you call them? Yuppies, or what do you call these new age people?
Socialist elites.
Well, they're kind of green.
Social elites.
Hipster. Are they called hipsters?
Yeah,
or,
all that.
They go out through the kind of inner suburbs and, gee, these people have just got to...
Just got to what?
Well, they've just got to understand a few things because I got a little bit of a guilty conscience and I've gone into and still am investigating solar. And in answer to these people, because they're all spruiking about climate change and whatever else.
That's a hoax as well.
Well, I'm going into solar and I'm trying to get a price and the cost of installing solar, and then you can sell it back to the grid for something like, well, I could stand to be corrected on all of this, but I'm only doing early investigative work, but so far 6 cents I get back, yet... I can see that this price is going to go up to 40 cents a kilowatt hour or whatever the charge is. So the electric company's making money there. Then they only take a certain amount of it. I find it difficult because I won't be able to use it through the peak period, because I haven't got a battery. And these people are pushing solar, get rid of power, get rid of coal, yet they don't really go into the logistics or the practicalities of the whole exercise. Why don't they start and do a few of these exercises? Because we're just not ready at this stage.
No, we're not.
We're just not ready because we haven't got the infrastructure, we haven't got the technology, we should all have a battery. Now, these batteries, I found out, I said, well, what about storing it? Yeah, you can, but it's going to cost you about $10,000 for a battery.
That's
and
right.
They will only last 10 years.
That's the argument against the electric vehicles and Teslas, and that the battery costs weighs half a ton. Half a ton.
Hang on, in the car?
In the car.
Really?
And the cost of manufacturing a battery with all the whatever they're made out of. They're made out of...
Now, what happens if you run a bus fleet? Now, listen, if they bring this in for buses... Now this
lithium and iron... To mine the lithium and iron, to make the cars, you can't sell them, you can't, they're not recyclable. It's a hoax,
Is the power going to come from to power these cars? You've got to get the power from somewhere. Again, it's electricity. Where is it going to be generated?
That's the whole thing.
Okay, and then I'll go on a little bit further. What happens if you've got buses, a bus fleet, and you've got to recharge your bus every, or the bus fleet every night. That'd just about turn the power off in the whole suburban area.
But they're only good for suburban use, the electric cars. You can't use them if you don't live in urban areas, because they're just impractical.
What, you mean driving through the country?
Yes.
They will put stations.
So how many stations? How you have to queue up. If there's enough electric vehicles sold, you have to queue up if you're going up to Sydney.
How many stops do you think you'd have going to Sydney?
That's right. And how long would you have to wait while someone charges their car up? There, it's impractical, and people are being conned by them. Now, Don.
Hang on. I've got something else that's just come out of this. My mind's thinking at a million miles an hour. Ralph Sarich, do you remember Ralph Sarich?
Yes.
Talking about electric cars.
Orbital,
the development of the rotary engine.
The orbital.
Okay, what has ever happened to that engine?
He was bought off by...
I understand. So what has happened to that engine?
It's bitten the dust on.
Why? Because some big petrol company or...
some big car manufacturers, they all bought him out and shelved it. Because they thought it was going to ruin their...
That's right.
...piston-making engines.
That's what I thought, because I saw, again, a small show, and I'm reading up a little bit on a fellow called Tesla.
Yes.
Tesla.
Elon Musk.
No, that's he's taken the name for the car, Tesla. But there was a, I think he was an Austrian scientist or a Hungarian, so born in, but he did his exploratory work in Colorado Springs, and he developed a form of electricity that went through the ground. I don't understand how it went, but in his experiments, the funny thing, it's not funny, but I felt for the horses, because the horses wore steel shoes, and they became conductors of this electricity that went through the ground. And so anyway, that was shelved as well, just at the time when electricity was coming to the fore.
So a bloke called Tesla invented electricity.
Well,
that
a form
went
of
horses
electricity.
Horses' hooves.
Well, it went through the ground. He developed in such a way that it, you know.
Now, Don, I'm only doing this to, this is for my benefit. Do you remember we spoke to a bloke called Dr. James Stewart, who we interviewed here about
Jimmy, I rang him.
Jimmy.
Well, Jimmy Stewart. You're isn't he the car driver?
Not
I rang the wrong man.
Jimmy Stewart.
I rang the wrong man. I got under the Scottish bloke.
You rang James Stewart.
Yeah, you know, he said, I'm the car driver.
The Scotsman.
Yeah.
He's not, the name's not James Stewart, is it?
Yeah, Jimmy Stewart, wasn't it?
Jimmy Stewart, is it?
Yeah. I asked him about the marijuana oil.
Dr. James Stewart, he was in here, we interviewed him about medical marijuana. Do you remember?
No.
And I said I used it and I hadn't got, it fixed my fingers up. I'm putting it down to that, Don. And I did say to him, I said, well, it might be the placebo effect, but
I'm using it. I'm trying to use it.
So, Don, the reason I'm mentioning this, we've had a lot of people contact me directly and indirectly on the social media and personally saying, wanted to know more about the medical marijuana. Now, I'm not suggesting anyone try the medical marijuana. If you want to, I'm found it's very, very... I'm using it.
Well, can we get an update next week on your progress?
I'm telling you, my progress is good. And you're
using
it.
Well, I'll follow it up next week.
There's a couple of AFL coaches who are using it. I'm not mentioning their names. And it is...
That's unlike you.
Because I don't want to embarrass them.
Oh. And how would you know this?
Because I was told.
Oh.
Because I was speaking to one of them.
Oh, really?
And he said, I heard you speaking about the...
Oh, really?
Yes, and you would know very well one of them. Okay. You'd know very well two of them. So I'm just saying this to you now. If you are interested in that, and we're not advising
you're making this an ad.
That's exactly what I'm trying not to do. Because
just talk about your experience.
Don, I started this off by saying I'm doing this for my own selfish reasons. I'm telling you, rather than contact me about it, because I can't give any advice because I'm not qualified to, and I'm not telling you to buy it or not to buy it. I'm saying if you want to know about
medical
marijuana...
What, do these people contact you on social media, do they?
Shut up, Don. I'm telling you now, if you want to Google or get... the profile of Dr. James Stewart. He's in the Google machine. Just Google who he is, and you can ring him direct. Don't ring me or ask me about it. I'm telling you, I'm using it. I've found it successful for what I think is successful about what I use it for. You're using it. There's plenty of people got under it.
I'm building my resistance.
So please go
up
to him direct, and I could give you out his phone number. But
no,
I
don't do that.
Well, I think he wants us to give out his phone number.
No, don't do that.
But I'm not doing it. But you can easily look him up.
Yeah,
just
we'll
put him into the machine.
You get a lot of idiots from
and Dr. James Stewart, and he's in Malvern, I think. So that's all I'm saying to you. I'll give you a progress report on how it's going, because people are vitally interested in it.
Are they?
They are. Very.
What, in your welfare or the marijuana?
My welfare. People say, I've heard you speaking about it. And it sounds
so
like
you're misconstruing their inquiries, I think.
I don't think they're really interested in it. I have people who, they say, oh, yes, we've got this and that, and I've got arthritis. And I said, and you use that stuff? And I say, yeah, I don't know if it's – I'm putting it down to the fact that
follow you up each week, and I'll write that down there for next week. Ask Johnny about his marijuana.
Right. So just finally – but
hit the button.
Now, shut up, Don. Now, just finally, Don – You don't. I think the public don't understand how much pressure AFL coaches are under, and I wasn't aware of this. I played.
There's no such thing as pressure. It's something you create.
Okay, I played in. I'm a member of a golf course, and at the start of the first Saturday of every month, they have what's called the monthly medal. So I go down to play in the monthly medal, and I'm sitting in the club rooms before I hit off. And there's a man I see, and I thought, shit, I know who that is. And he said, hello, Sam, how are you? And
not
I
John, said, but Sam.
Hmm? What, Don? What did you say then? You fucking idiot. He said, hello, Sam, how are you? And I said, good. And then I looked at him, I said, Chris, is it? He said, yes.
Chris. Chris is a coach of an AFL team, isn't
yes.
he? Chris, Chris. Oh, yes, yeah. Okay.
Go on.
I've got it.
Who is it?
Well, he's a relation.
That's right. I was going to say, are you his father?
I hope not.
Chris and Brad Scott. You're not the father of Chris and Brad Scott, are you? Don't tell me that this is something we've not known up until... Anyhow, I said to Chris Scott, I said, g'day, mate, because he's a very good golfer, him and Brad.
Really?
You should know if your sons are good golfers. And I said, are you playing in the monthly medal? He said, no. He said, I can't put my name down. He said, because if we lose, and Geelong played Footscray the night before on the Friday. This is the Saturday that I was down. They played... beat Footscray on the Friday night.
Gee,
he said,
this is getting complicated.
Well,
this is getting complicated.
He said, I couldn't come and play if we'd lost because it would just affect my game, my golf game.
What?
And I said, isn't that amazing, Don? That he can't have a real sort of life during the winter months when he's coach, because the pressure, if he had lost the game, people would say, probably the media would say, oh, there's Chris Scott. He didn't worry too much about losing. He's put his name down for the monthly medal. He's out there laughing with everyone and playing golf. So he said it's not worth him putting his name down to play because he couldn't be assured that the side would win, and if they lost, it wouldn't be the right thing, and he wouldn't feel the pressure on him to play golf would be, he wouldn't be concentrating on it.
We're all different, aren't we?
Isn't that? I thought that's
amazing.
Well,
Damien Barrett, you know, we tried to get him.
Damien Barrett?
Yeah, we tried to get him on a guest on here, but he won't come on to the podcast because he's frightened of the retribution that his fellow panellists on the football show through winter. He'll come in the off-season when he doesn't have to front his work colleagues. Isn't pressure an interesting thing? There's Damien Barrett, who won't come on this podcast, and Chris Scott, who can't play golf.
Well, he could play golf, but he just said if he had lost the game the night before, he just wouldn't feel... because that gets to them, and that's the pressure.
Does he smile?
What?
Does he smile? Yes, I don't think I've seen him smile, Chris Scott.
No, well, you'd only see him in the box when the pressure's on in the football game.
Press conferences.
Oh, well. Well, what would you smile about at a press conference when you're being asked dopey questions by people like you?
Oh, why didn't you put Smith on to the back flank?
Oh, well, mate, because we didn't think he was injured. Oh, well, you know, just cannon fodder it is. So, anyhow, Don, we've got a whole lot of stuff.
So, what was this about the monthly medal?
It's a monthly medal. Every golf club has a monthly medal, and you play for it for a trophy, for wine glasses or something. It's just
how
a,
many
it's,
clubs, golf
it's a
clubs.
Bragging
which golf
right.
club do you belong to?
What?
Which golf
What's
club?
That got to do with it? Well, it doesn't matter which golf club. Just a quick grammar lesson, Don. Grammar, G-R-A-M-M-A.
You excelled at grammar at your college or grammar?
Well, I heard on an ad someone say in one foul swoop that... No, it's not one foul swoop. It's one fell swoop. Wouldn't you think people who do ads get commissioned by advertising agencies, they'd get the English pronunciation of words correct, or even just get the word correct? It's one fell swoop, F-E-double-L.
Well, and haven't then read they the dictionary said, from cover to cover like you.
And then they said there was a blue ribbon event going on. It's not a blue ribbon event, it's a blue riband event. Riband.
So that ice cream should be called blue riband ice cream?
No, blue ribbon is means that they've given it
first
a
prize.
Yes, that's right. But blue riband event is not... not associated with first prize. It's a different meaning.
What does riband mean? Riband mean?
Riband. It's an event.
Well, there's a bike race something riband, isn't there?
I'm just telling you. Then, of course, there's the seventh letter of the alphabet, I think. Is that H? A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. Is it
F, G? Eighth letter.
H. How anyone calls it H is beyond
you're
me.
You're the only one who's...
And then I heard someone say he contributed to the success. It's contributed. So, Don, we're going to...
take a break?
We're going
Please.
To take a break. Yeah, Please. Because you've given us nothing again. So here we go. Let me just...
See if you can press the button. You ready?
Shut up, Don. I'm not sure what I'm doing.
I know that.
Just
You're
a minute.
Really worried.
Just a minute.
I can see
here
it in
we go.
Your face.